explain that these two five events, these five events of Shavuos and Bet Hamidrash and Tisha B'Av, they are related, and they represent the two endpoints. Kol roitfeha hisiguha bein hamitzarim. It says the pasuk in Eicha, all of her pursuers, all of her enemies. Kol roitfeha. It's a very powerful pasuk, which Chazal understand that use it for describing this time of the year. All of her enemies overtook her. Bein hamitzarim, between the straits. What are the mitzarim? On one endpoint is Shavuos B'Tammuz, and the other endpoint is Tisha B'Av. And it says Kol Rodfeha, all of her enemies. Kol Rodfeha, which is interesting because when we focus on these days, we have many enemies. And if we limit, when we limit this Tekufa just to the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash, why do you say Kol Rodfeha? It was, the Bayis Rishon was Nebuchadnezzar, Bavel, and the Bayis Sheni was Rome. So what about the Arabs? What about the Yishma'elim? What about Amalek, the Amalekim? What about Sancheirev? Okay, who destroyed the Aseres HaShvatim? It's not what do you mean Kol Roitfeha? So this is a famous Chazal. Kol Roitfeha Hisigura Bein Hamid. All of her pursuers overtook her between the straits. When we look at Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tishrei, when we look at the artwork in the newspapers, all the marketing campaigns to give money to tzedakah, which is a very important thing, and they're going to open up our minds with some very creative, powerful illustrations. They're only going to show you two things. They're going to show you the walls of Yerushalayim, and they're going to show you the Kosel HaRavi. I did this myself. That's the only thing I would even think of doing. And we discussed yesterday that's really wrong, it's really not true. Those things are just outgrowths of the Ikarim, which is the Shvimus Haluchos, which was really the result of the Egel, and the Meraglim that complained, which brought about the result that we had to remain in the desert 40 years. If we only look at this Tekufa with the pictures in the newspaper of the walls of Yerushalayim were breached and the Churban Bayis Sheni, then it's not all of our enemies. These are just two nations that succeeded in conquering us. The nation of Bavel, led by Nebuchadnezzar, a nothing nation. They came out of nowhere. No, they didn't even exist. Who was Nebuchadnezzar? They rose up out of cockroaches. All of a sudden became a dominant world player, conquered the world. And Rome maybe was a little more significant, but that's not the whole world. That's not the whole world. The history of the world, it was Egypt, was a major player. There was Ammon and Moab caused us grief. There were many, the Pelishtim, what about the Pelishtim? The Pelishtim, how much blood was spilled because of the Pelishtim back in the time of Tanakh? What about going into the 21st century? What about Nazi Germany? What are they? How do they fit into the picture? They're not Romans, doesn't seem they're certainly not from the Babylonians. Where do they fit into the picture? Where does terrorism fit into the picture? With what we associate with the Yishma'elim? What's going on? I'm Nazi Germany, maybe you'll associate with Amalek. I don't know. No one really knows these things. But if you're going to limit the Churban to the Kaisa, the breaching of the walls and the Churbayis, you're challenged when we come to Kol Rodfeha. And therefore, it's very important to appreciate that the Mehametzarim start with the pasuk in Eicha, Kol Rodfeha, Hisigur Ben Hametzarim. The 10 different events, the endpoints, if you really analyze them, it would appear, and I don't have all, but this is like a half-baked idea, which Maevsky and Rabbi, and I'm going to call, I think we should start calling you now, Rabbi Miller. Meir doesn't need to be called rabbi. He has the long white beard. Meir is a Rashiva. So, when you look at all...
Halevi.
What?
Halevi.
Halevi. Oh, Yaakov Rudman. I remember Rudman. I remember when he came to Magen Avraham. And I know someone, I know Mr. Bloom is here. Mr. Bloom, is he here? Maybe Mr. Bloom. So, Mr. Bloom, I used to say Rabbi Garnhouse, Mr. Garnhouse. Yitzchak Meir Garnhouse, he always asked about you. So he was a Talmud, a very close Talmud of Rudiman. And he always imitates. He puts on the accent and he imitates and he tells me all these very funny stories of Rav Rudiman. So now that this is Yosef Mustachov, he says something was Lechem Shmosai. Rav Rudiman, you know, he was fatracht in learning, very fatracht in learning. And he said he'd walk in the street and he'd hit a pole, a light pole, and he would say, "Excuse me." He would say to the light pole, "Excuse me."
It's like Rav Chazon used to.
And always, he was always very, always, he would say, Good Shabbos. On Tuesday afternoon, he would say, Good Shabbos. Because he was very confused. He told me once, he went to a wedding from Baltimore. They came to New York, they went to Chassan, they sat down by the Chassan's Tish, and everyone came over, and a lot of people were Choshev. And he looks at the son, he says in Yiddish, I don't know the Yiddish, Where's Rav Moshe? And he says, "Where's Rav Yankov?" And then after 2 minutes, he realized he's in the wrong wedding. He's in the wrong wedding hall. And here, everyone, "Oh, look, it's there. Rudiman is there." Excuse me. A lot of these type of funny stories happen. And there were a lot of very funny jokes about his wife. His wife was a very sophisticated woman. And his wife also smoked. And he would always tell the students, what's it called? Paul Mall? What was it?
Pell Mall?
Paul Mall? He would ask the students. I can't imitate. Barry Garnhouse, he would be here, he would imitate to you exactly the way you said he would imitate. Can you please buy my wife, buy for me Paul Mall cigarettes, and buy the newspaper for his wife? He would always be remarkable to buy for his wife the cigarettes and. And then there was a lot of shtick they did in Neri's show. He says there was a boy who once went into the office. Can you imagine this? He went into a Rudiman's office when he wasn't there. And he said, and he knocked on the door to get attention. From behind the door, this boy was very, 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 very talented. He imitated him in Yiddish. And he said, "Do me a toiva, please. Go to the store and get me the Paul Mall cigarettes and this newspaper, and leave it by the door." And the boy went to the store, he bought the cigarettes and the newspaper, and put it by the door. One story after another. Well, I'll tell you one of the last stories is that a boy came into Rav Rudiman, and he told Rav Rudiman that, "I'm a chassan. I want to be mechabed with Seder Kiddusha." And he came to his home, and his Rebbe was sitting there. And so the when is the chasna? So he told him Dalid Elul, the beginning of Chodesh. So the Rebbe says, "I can't come to the chasna. Do not make chasnas in Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is Yimei Hadin. You don't make chasnas to Chodesh Elul. I'm sorry." Isn't marriage itself din?
Yeah.
So his wife says, "Rabbi Rudiman, please tell me, when did you get married?" So he says, "Okay, I'll come to the chasna. I'll be beside the kiddusha." He has like hundreds of stories like this. I can't remember the stories, but may his neshama have an aliyah. He was a very holy person. He was a Talmid of Slobodka from people who mamish. Who really set the tone. He set the tone, was a very holy person. I remember seeing him once. I saw him once in Magen Avraham. He came to visit. A good part of the staff were Talmidim of Neri Yisrael. So they invited him to come. He was a mamish a yomtiv. We had to wear our big day Shabbos. We had a line up to be mekabel him, and there was music. It was unbelievable. It's such a good, you know, chinuch habanim. They did it the right way. And he came, he was an elderly person then. And then he spoke, and then he had like a translator. He spoke, and Rabbi Lapidus, he's one of the Menalim in Neri Yisrael. After he spoke, he got up and he repeated in English very clearly what the Rashidus said. He gave over, like when he translated for the camp, it was a big oil one. Exactly what the Rashidus said. It was a very beautiful memories of Rav Ruderman. It was a very holy event when he came and they brought him to Magen Avraham to all of the students. Okay, then may his Hashem have an aliyah. Let's get back to our discussion. We discussed Kol Roi Tfecho Hisigu Ben HaMitzarim, all of her pursuits overtook her. So we have to understand that these 7 days, these 21 days, 22 days, are not only about the breach of the walls of Yerushalayim and the Chum Beis HaMikdash, but it's about Kol Roi Tfecho. So let's analyze this just very briefly. What was the first thing that happened in Shavuos HaMitzarim? What was the first thing? The Shviras HaLuchos. The Shviras HaLuchos. Who is the enemy of the Shviras HaLuchos? When we focus on Shviras HaLuchos, who are we trying to... Who is the Rote Feha that brought about the Shviras HaLuchos? Mitzrayim. Egypt. Mitzrayim. The goal of Paro Melech Mitzrayim was to destroy Klal Yisrael. Kol Habein Hayiloi Hayoira Tashlichuhu. V'chol Abastach, they didn't succeed, obviously. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take us out of Mitzrayim. But unfortunately, there was some damage, irreparable damage, that the Egyptians did to our neshamas. That 40 days after Yitzias Mitzrayim, we weren't ready. We just were not, 40 days after Matan Torah, 40 days after Matan Torah, there was still some lingering damage to our neshamas.
Yes.
Fine, but there was tolerance. Erev Rav is 3,000 people, but Klal Yisrael is considered in halacha, beyond a shadow of a doubt, guilty. We can't always shift the blame. There was tolerance. It was considered to be our problem. Who is the enemy? Define me the enemy. There was no Nebuchadnezzar. There was no Rome. There was no Amon Umoah. Who's the enemy? Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the enemy. Mitzrayim were over the Avodah Zarah. They were over the Habal. They were idolaters. The damage that the Egyptians inflicted upon the Jewish people for 210 years came out, mushroomed, in the Cheiro Egel. Egypt is our enemy. Okay, what was the next event that happened on Shavuos HaMitzarim? Apotamos. Apotamos, he burnt a Sefer Torah. Who was Apotamos? It's a very big mystery. I was reading yesterday, very big mystery. Some say Pashas was a melech of Yavan. It's during the time of the Chashmonaim. We're going back to the Hanukkah era. The Hanukkah era was a time of Shemad. It was an era of about, it was a time about 50 years approximately. The intensity of the Shemad, of the Hanukkah era was approximately 50 years. And we all know about the miracle. We all know about the Chashmon. They overcame the miracle, the battles of Matisyo. But the Sereifas HaTorah that occurred on Shavuos HaMitzarim was a Sereifa that occurred during the time of the Yavani, the Syrian Greeks, according to at least one opinion. Apotamos is one of the Malchai Yavan during the Tkuf of the Baal Shem. Yeah, there are many opinions. Okay? Kol Roi Tfecho Hisigu Ben HaMitzarim, Mitzrayim, dealing with Yavon. Okay, obviously the breach in the walls of Yerushalayim, the breach of the walls was done by Nebuchadnezzar. Now not just by Nebuchadnezzar, Rome as well. The Bayis Rishon was by Nebuchadnezzar, and the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni, there's a machlokes, the Baal of Yerushalayim, when were the walls of Yerushalayim breach was done by Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni. And let's say, according to the opinion of the stability of the Yerushalmi says that they both of them occurred on Shavuos HaMitzarim, And the reason why it says in Sefer Yirmiyahu that it took place on the ninth day of Tammuz was because they were confused. They lost track of time because of the siege, so they made a mistake. But the true day that it occurred was on the 17th day. So who this is in the venue that happened because of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, and the Bayesheni because of the Romans. And likewise in Tisha B'Av, also it's the same two nations. Okay, what else happened on Shabbos? The Tamid came to an end. The Tamid stopped. At what Tukufa did the Tamid come to an end? It's also a big, big debate, and all of the Sun that discussed this try to trace it. Some will tell you that happened during the time of the Bayis Rishayin. And it seems that most opinions say that's not. They say it's during the Tukufa of the Bayis Shem. And there's a very big debate as to which Tukufa this happened. Was it during the siege, right? Okay, there it could be probably happened multiple times.
Isn't there in the Gemara the story with the pigs that they sent up the
right? That's what that they sent up a pig, right? So when did that story was the Bayesheni. But that wasn't the only time that it happened. There was an earthquake, the whole world shook. But it happened other times. And I don't remember exactly which Tukuf, but it was a different we have to define when it was, which era. I don't remember all the details. But it's not necessarily any of the above. It wasn't necessarily during the time of the Romans. It wasn't during the time of the Syrian Greeks. It was a time of the Egyptians. There was a Tukufa when Egypt. Well, now that's go back to the early Mitzrayim. The later Mitzrayim. The different Ptolemy, right? What's Ptolemy? What? How do you pronounce it?
Ptolemy.
That was Egypt. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that was an entirely different nation. That's not the ancient Egyptians.
And that was Alexander's Yarshin.
That's a whole different era of Jewish history, which is not here, not there. And what was the last thing is they put a tselem in the Heichal. Who put a tselem in the Heichal? So it's a whole topic of discussion. Are we referring to Menashe? Some say yeah, some say no, referring to the Bayis Sheni, referring to different eras. Whatever it is, the point is, now let's go to the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni, there were five things that happened. We have the cloud, they spoke Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, and they refused to go into Eretz. Now let's try to appreciate this. Who is the cause of Klal Yisrael not willing to go into Eretz Yisrael? Klal Yisrael, the Merachim come back and they say Lashon Hara, the people are giants, the land is it's impossible for us to conquer. So you'll say very similar, are you gonna say that this is a throwback? Can you hear me online? I'm just curious about that. I don't even know where the microphone is. So I'll just stop for one moment. I'm all confused here. Where's the microphone? Are you able to hear me?
Yes. I hear you.
Yeah, okay, good, okay. I'm surprised you could hear me because the microphone wasn't even on. All right. But can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Or it's the same, okay. So let's go to the Tukufa of the Bayis Sheni. In the Tukufa of the Bayis Sheni, what were the five things that happened? The first thing that happened was they refused to go into Eretz Yisrael. Abuchia Sholchina. Let's analyze this. Why did Klal Yisrael not want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Simply, you'll say, because they lacked Emuna, and the lack of Emuna was a throwback to Mitzrayim, the damage of what happened in Mitzrayim. It certainly is true to that, but there's another element here. They are afraid of the Canaanim, Eretz Canaan. They're afraid of the Pelishtim. They're afraid of the Canaanim. That's a whole new... Why don't you want to go into Eretz Yisrael? I'm afraid to fight. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of the Canaanim. You're afraid of the Canaanim? That's a whole new element. That's not Egypt anymore. The Egel was a throwback to Eila Elohecha Yisrael Shavatisicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. It was the damage of Egypt. Erev Rav. A year later, they're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden there's a pachad. We cannot battle the Canaanim. obviously the Canaanim's influence, knowing that they're coming, somehow radiated, and they were affected by the Canaanim. That's a whole different nation. What was the second event that happened? The Churban, the Bayis, Yishuv Hashem, we already said, that's Rome, and that is Nebuchadnezzar. And then comes Beitar. What is the Churban of Beitar? The Churban of Beitar, you'll simply say, is Rome. But it's more than just Rome. Because Rome already, it's a different Rome. It's the Churban Beis Hamikdash took place by, there are three players. This is something that we have to discuss at some point in time. There are three Caesars, or three Goyim, that are presented in the story of the Churban Bayis Shem. Who are they? Neron. Neron was assigned to destroy Yerushalayim. The Gemara tells all about Neron. He goes with his army. He shoots an arrow. Let's review what happened. He went. He laid siege. I don't remember the whole story. But at one point in time, in his quest to destroy Yerushalayim, he shoots an arrow in one direction. No, this Neron. The first one was Neron. And then he asked a child. The first person presented in the Churban of Yerushalayim is Neron. Neron went and he was sent to destroy Yerushalayim, and he saw that he would be successful. He shot arrows in different directions and he saw they all went to Yerushalayim. He then asked a child, and the child cited a pasuk which indicated that he's going to be successful. I don't remember all the details. Then he asks the child, what's going to happen? And he says that Hashem says, yeah, they'll be successful, but the person that succeeds will be severely punished. And Neron said, Hashem wants me to do his dirty work? And then he's going to wipe his hands on me? You know what? I quit. I'm not doing this. I know that I'm going to succeed, but I know the consequence of success are going to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to clean his hands on me. So he ran away. And Chazal say, from him came out Rebbe Meir. Some want to say that he was Megayer. He himself was Megayer. And his descendants, he produced Rebbe Meir. Then Neron disappeared. And they actually have records that Neron disappeared off the face of the earth. Actually, in the second records, Neron is a mystery. He disappeared. It is mamash, exactly what it says in the Gemara. They don't know why he disappeared. We know why he disappeared. It's because he knew he would be successful, but he did not want to be punished for destroying Hashem's nation. So who comes next on the scene? Vespasian. When Neron disappeared, Vespasian was appointed to be his replacement. And he goes, and he's on the verge of conquering Yerushalayim, laying siege. And then what happens? He gets a message. The Caesar has died. They want you to be his replacement. You have been elected. There were four candidates. When the Caesar of Rome died, there were four candidates to be elected. Four people running for in the election. And he won the election. And as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was speaking to him, he had one shoe on, one shoe off. The messenger came and says, guess what? The results of the election are in. The audit is complete. There is no election fraud. You have been selected to be the Caesar. So he left. He went back to be the Caesar. And in the process, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got out of him at least to save, got three things, to save Yavne the Chachomeha, and to save the Shulshulta, the chain of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and also a doctor of Rabbi Tzadok. Who took over? His son, Titus. So there were three people. Chazal, when they described the Churban Bayis Sheni, there are three players. There are three people that are presented from Rome that participated in this process. Neron, the Spezen, I can't even pronounce his name, and Titus. Three people. This represents an era. Beitar is a different era. It's not the same Rome. It's a different Tekuva. It's a different class of Kol Roitfeho Hisiguha Bein HaMitzar. And then we come to the plowing over of Yerushalayim. When did that happen? That's a big topic also, when that happened. Big discussion. What are we to which truth? And it's also, I don't remember all the details.
The time of Beitar.
No, it's not so posh. That was some say it was the big discussion. When exactly? It could be right. Much, much later. It's up to the discussion. The point I'm trying to make over here is that we have a chazal that say, Kol Roitfeho Hisigua Bein Hamitzar. Chazal enumerate 10 different events that happened on Shavuos v'Tammuz and on Tisha B'Av. The purpose of enumerating the 10 events is to present to you the Kol Roitfeho. Each one of these events represents a different tekufa, where the enemy has taken on a different nature. Enemy has a different hashkafa. Egypt is not the same as the Canaanite. The hatred that the Egyptians had for the Jewish people is not the same hatred that the Canaanite had for Klal Yisrael. When the eagle was done, that was an outgrowth of Mitzrayim. Not wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael was an outgrowth of a different form of hatred that affected us, that scared us, that changed us. That was the Canaanite. The Churban Bayis Rishon was a result of Nebuchadnezzar, which represented a different form of hatred for the Jewish people. The Churban Bayis She'ni was a different tekufa, a tekufa of Neron, Vespasian, and Titus. Beitar was different. Beitar is where Klal Yisrael, there was a revolt. There was Rabbi Akiva, there was Bar Kochva. It was a different era, a different tekufa of where we had the upper hand. We had 2 years of autonomy. Klal Yisrael minted their own coins. It was a battle. It was a different approach to conquering Klal Yisrael. They were not trying to conquer Klal Yisrael then as just a vulnerable country under siege. They were dealing with a very powerful army of Bar Kochva and Rabbi Akiva, an organized nation willing to battle. The enemy took on a very different nature. The time of the Syrian Greeks, of when they burned the Sefer Torah, that's the time of Hanukkah. The time when they put a tzilim in the Hechel was a different era. All of the events that are presented in the 10 items that explain Kol Roitfeho of the Churban of the Mitzoreho are coming to illustrate the word Kol. Kol Roitfeho Hisiguha Bein HaMitzorim. These are 10 samples. These are events which present, don't ever think that Klal Yisrael is safe. It's not that one nation hates us and another nation loves us. There's no such thing. In the history of Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, there is a sinah sheba la'ola. We have many different types of anti-Semitism. On the one hand, we have a principle called halacha biyadua esav soine yaakov. That Maimon Chazal focuses specifically on esav. Halacha biyadua esav soine yaakov. Why does esav hate Yaakov? Because Yaakov took away his brachos. He was the Bechor, he was the firstborn. He felt entitled to receive the Bechorah. He felt entitled to carry on the legacy of Avraham and Yitzchak, to be the Am HaNivchar. And he blew it. He blew it. He gave it away to Yaakov. He resents the fact that he gave it away, that he was not worthy, whatever the causes are. He's jealous. He's jealous, he's disappointed, and really he hates himself. The hatred of Esav, Soni Yaakov, is a hatred for himself. Why wasn't I worthy? Why couldn't I be eminent in the Soni in order to be to carry the legacy of Avraham and Yitzchak? And when he comes to beat up Yaakov, he's really just expressing self-hatred. But that doesn't explain why the Yishmaelim hate us. The Yishmaelim hate us because Sarah said, to Klal Yisrael, Sarah's Goresh as Ben Ha'oma Hazaz Kilo Yirash Imbini and Yitzchak. the hatred of Yishmael comes from Sarah. Fine, so we explain Esav, we've explained Yishmael. Why does Amalek hate us? Why does Amalek hate us? What's their problem, Amalek? So Amalek really is a chelik of Esav, so it's not such a question. So that's really sort of a chelik of that. But were there other nations? Why do they hate? They're not necessarily part of this of Yishmael. Why do they hate us? Har Sinai. Because every single nation in the world was given the opportunity to be mekabel the Torah, and they rejected the Torah. And what therefore Hashem gave the Torah in Har Sinai, in Chazal Darshin, why is it called Sinai? Interchange the Samach with a sin, and we interchange the word Sinai means sinner. Misham Yarda Sinner Lo'olam. A hatred that the Jewish people came down to the world because every single nation had the opportunity to mekabel the Torah, and they decided not to accept the Torah. So we're dealing already three completely different mekoros for hatred. Esav, he lost the Bechorah, and Shmuel Tzar drove him out. The other nations, Matan Torah. Matan Torah is an independent, separate cause for the hatred of the Jewish people. Misham Yarda Sinah La'olam, that has nothing to do with Esav, nothing to do with Yishmael. That is a hatred that every single nation possesses. They're hating themselves. Why couldn't we have accepted the Torah, or at least the chelik of the Torah? Why were we foolish to abandon and to lose our chelik in Torah? Then there are other forms of hatred. Just plain simple jealousy. Jealousy. Jews are smart. Hashem gave them the Chochmas HaTorah. Hashem gave them the Hashkacha Pratis. Forget about Torah. Forget about Esav Yishmael. There's just plain, simple jealousy. They see that we have. They see we're successful. They see what we can do. They're jealous. Plain and simple. Another type of hatred. And then there is hatred, not even because of jealousy. It's just out of frustration. Act like children acting out. When a child doesn't get what he wants, he throws a temper tantrum, and he goes and he kicks and he screams and he makes trouble. Adults throw much bigger temper tantrums, which has nothing to do with jealousy. Just there's bad people, bad midos. People are just racist. Plain and simple. Nothing to do. So there are multiple dimensions to why they hate us. Bein Hamitzarim is a tekufa of kol rotfeha. It is a time when we are vulnerable. Our guard is down. And therefore, it's a dangerous time in history, focusing on kol, all of our enemies, whether they're from Yishmael, they're Esav, they're Amalek, they're from the Umos HaOlam, they all have something against us. Another dimension of hatred, of Amon and Moab. They have a unique hatred for us, not related to anything we said above, because Lo Yavai Amoni Umoavi B'Kahal Hashem. The Torah singled them out, that they are not accepted to come into our nation because Asher Lo Kidmu Eschem B'Alechem V'Mayim. Totally different dimension of hatred for the Jewish people. How do you know this is true? When they conquered, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. They came into the Kodesh HaKodesh. What did they want? Everyone came in. They looted the Beis HaMikdash for gold and silver. They didn't care for the gold and silver. They were looking for the Sefer Torah. They were looking for the Torah Moshe that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. That was in the Aron HaKodesh. That's what they wanted. That's the only thing they want. They found it. And what did they do? They opened it up to where it says, Lo Yavoi Amoini Umoyavi B'Kahal Hashem. The Jews are racist. They singled us out for exclusion. Lo Yavoi Amoini Umoyavi, and therefore they have for us a unique special hatred. If you want to go count all the different types of hatred, they're numerous. Yishmael, because of Sarah. Esav, because he lost the brachas. Amon Umoya, because the Torah singled them out, Lo Yavai Amoni Umoya B'Kahal Hashem. Every other nation has a degree of hatred because of Har Sinai, Misham Yorda Sinai Yisrael, because they lost out on they did not mekabel the Torah. And then there is Stam, jealousy. The Jews are successful, which is a natural a natural human condition. The Jews are successful. Whatever they do, they're successful. So mamela, they get jealous and they start labeling us and start saying things that we control the world, the economy, this and that. And then they're just people that are the bottom of the barrel. And they hate everyone. They hate themselves. And when we are vulnerable because of our chatoim, then people who just act out because they're just the bottom of the barrel, we're their punching bag. So we have during this tekufa a reminder of the word kol rotfer. It's not just about the pictures of the breaching of the wall of Yerushalayim and of the Chumash Hamikdash. It's a zman of kol rotfer. Now Zel Umazel is a beautiful Chassid Shavar. Everyone should know the word. You've heard it probably 1,000 times. But Zel Umazel, what are the Chassid Shavar? What are the Chassid Shavar? Kol Roitfeha. All, instead of interpreting it to mean all of our enemies, interpret the subject of Kol is us, the Jewish people. And with the Roitfeha, who are we pursuing? Who are we trying? Who are we chasing after? We're chasing after Hashem. Kol Roitfecha, any member of the Jewish people who pursues Hashem to be granted, who desires a relationship, an iskarvus with Hashem, his sigura can overtake Hashem during this time of the year. This is an opportunity, a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants us to look for him. He's looking, he makes it easy. It's like Yasser Simei Teshuvah. Dir Shu Hashem bi Matzai. It's a similar type of tekufa where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him, gives us access to him in a way that we don't have access the entire year round. The whole year round, the president is in the Oval Office. You can't get through security, no way. You walk into Washington D.C., you're ready under surveillance. Just come near the city, you're ready, they're ready looking to arrest you, looking to make a bill, we'll put you in jail. What are you doing in Washington D.C.? What are you doing over here? You're a terrorist? Who asked you to come to Washington D.C.? Right? You can't even get near. But when the president comes to New York, and the president over here is right next to you, I didn't go to you, you came to me. Oh, now you have easy access. This tekufa is a tekufa where any member of Klal Yisrael kol roitfecha, we're able to overtake Hashem during this time of Bein HaMitzarim. And Zelu Mazeh, just like according to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, Kol Roitzvecha means all of our enemies, going back from the beginning of time to the end of time, from Mitzrayim to the Canaanim, to the Tekufa of the Romans, the early Romans, the later Romans, the Yevanim, and every Tekufa, all of our enemies, so to every type of Jew. Kol Roitzvecha, whether you're a Mesnage, you're a Chassid, you're a Chabad, you're a Svardi, whatever you are, whether you're a Tzaddik, you're a Rasha, there's something for everyone during this Tekufa, Kol Roitzvecha, to be able to come and to come close, to overcome and connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, this is one of what I wanted to get off my chest. Now, let's go to some other Verloch. One of the five things that happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz is Bitul HaTamid. The Talmud came to an end. This is an amazing thing, this idea of the Bitul HaTalmud. First of all, we discussed when exactly did the Karban Talmud come to an end. So someone had mentioned the Gemara that spoke about a mice that happened during the Tekufa of Bayis Sheni. In the Tekufa of Bayis Sheni, the Kohanim, when there was a siege, they lowered, every day they would try to bribe the Romans to let them continue to offer the Karban Talmud. So for the Romans, this was good money, easy money. Everyone could use a couple of bucks. So the Jewish people, every day they lowered down some gold coins from the top of the wall. And in exchange, the Romans would put a sheep in the basket, and they would lift up the sheep, and they had a carbon. And they said, listen, the siege is going on. You know, we're at a stalemate. We're not able to conquer them, and they're not going nowhere. So in the meantime, you know, I can use some money, I can, you know, get some more minutes on my smartphone, I can call home to see what's doing in Rome. So why not? They want a carbon, so give them a carbon, get a couple of bucks, why not? What's the problem? Until one day, someone told them, you idiots, don't you realize that the reason why you're at a stalemate is because of the spiritual component of their defense. they're offering a sacrifice to their God, to Hashem. And Hashem is protecting them. And you are giving them the means to protect themselves by giving them a carbon. This is, they're fooling you. You don't understand that the carbon really works. It really makes a difference. When they bring this carbon, they gain atonement, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they find favor in Hashem's eyes. Don't give them the carbon, and that way you'll succeed. So, Vayihi Hayoyim, they lowered down the money. They took the money. There was no refund, by the way. They took the money, and what did they put in the basket? Chazir. And as the chazir was hoisted up, the chazir stuck its claws into the wall, and the entire Eretz Yisrael shook, the whole world shook. That was the end of the carbon tonnet. That was the beginning of the end. That's a very beautiful Gemara, and that's definitely true. It's part of the carbon tonnet came to an end. However, many of the commentators explain that L'chorah is not what we're referring to when it says on Shavuos the Talmud, the tonnet came to an end. Because the Talmud coming to an end appears to be a much more significant korban than the story that the Gemara presents. The Gemara presents a horrible tragedy. They had a korban Talmud, the Romans fooled them, they gave them a chazir, there's an earthquake. All right, there were many horrors. You want me to tell you horror stories? There's no limit of horror stories we can talk about when it comes to the korban. We're looking here for things that are fundamental, the fundamentals. The Egel is a fundamental event. The breach of the walls of Yerushalayim is a fundamental occurrence. The burning of a Sefer Torah, obviously, in the eyes of Chazal, has to be something fundamental. The burning of the Sefer Torah, I mean, it's like the Shrus Haluchas. That needs to be discussed more. The putting of a Tzelem in the Heichel, obviously, is fundamental. Things you wouldn't do. What was fundamental about the carbon tomb coming to an end? So Chazal suggests is that from the time of Har Sinai until this moment, there was never a day that the Talmud was not offered. It says by the parish of the carbon Talmud, it says, we go on to say in the parish of Korban Talmud, we mentioned that the Korban Talmud was offered at Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the time when the first Korban Talmud was offered. When did it, and what happened from that point in time? It appears every single day, it was not a single day in the world history, from the time of Har Sinai, that the Korban Talmud was not offered. Every day's Korban Talmud took us back to Matan Torah, Har Sinai. And to say that the Bittul HaTalmud that we are referring to took place at the end of 420 years of the Bayis Sheni is l'chorah not what we're referring to, because the Talmud came to an end for 70 years. During the 70 years when there was no Beis HaMikdash, there was no Talmud. That is a guarantee. And probably before that, also during the time of the Chorban, during the siege leading up to the Bahá'í Institution, there was no Talmud. The essence of the Talmud is continuity. There is absolutely no hefsek whatsoever. Everyone appreciates that principle, momentum. Once you lose the momentum, it is very, very hard to get it back. Everyone knows her, Rabbi Akiva. He came home after 12 years. His wife gave him permission to go away to live for 12 years. After 12 years, he came back. He was outside the bayis, about to knock on the door. And as he's about to knock on the door, he hears inside his home a man is talking to his wife and saying to his wife, what's going on by you? Where's your husband? So she says, he went to learn for 12 years. So the man says, what kind of nonsense is this? Your husband goes away for 12 years? He lives here all alone? He abandons you? What kind of crazy relationship do you have? So she says, he went to learn Torah. So he says, what kind of nonsense? So what? And she says, if it was up to me, I want to go back for another 12 years. That's all Rabbi Akiva needed to hear. He didn't even bother knocking on the door, and he made an about face, and he went back in for another 12 years. So what's the obvious question? You're at the front door, you can't already say hello. You knock on the door and say hello to your wife. Rachel, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? I heard what you just said. I'm going back for another 12 years, but at least hello. Why did he not even knock on the door? So everyone has these funny answers. If you say hello, his wife will change her mind right away, and hulu hulu. But what is the real answer? The real answer is continuity. Einoi doimer, 24 consecutive years, verse 12 times 2. Einoi doimer. If he would have stopped to say hello, then that would be a hefsek. He would have smashed, he would have severed the continuity of what he's doing. Klal Yisrael was moving ahead with power of continuity through the Karban Tamid. The Tamid takes us back to Matan Torah. Ho'asuya Behar Sinai. Tamid. Every single day, without exception, we go forward, we connect ourselves to Har Sinai. The day that break happened, the continuity stopped, that's a chorban. That is a tremendous chorban. What's the chorban? The disconnect to Kabbalah Satara. We lost the continuity of Kabbalah Satara. I appreciate this. All of the five things of Shavuot Sivat Talmud all come back to Matan Torah. What's the first thing? The first thing is the Shviras Haluchas. Okay, what more do you want? The Torah was destroyed. The second event is the Sveifas HaTorah. Torah was destroyed. The third event, the Talmud was bottled. What is the Talmud? The Talmud is our connection to Har Sinai. Ho'asuya b'Har Sinai. A day did not go by where we did not have that direct, continuous connection to Har Sinai. There was a severance. We're no longer connected. There was a breach. Whatever we'll do now will never fully connect us back to Har Sinai because the Bittul HaTalmud. There wasn't a day that passed since Matan Torah until this day when we were not directly connected to Har Sinai Kabbalah Satorah. Let's go to number five. What was number five? The walls of Yerushalayim were breached. What's the problem? So Chazal says something very interesting about the walls of Yerushalayim. What happened at Har Sinai? Vayachan Usham Neged Har. Vayichan Sham. It says Vayichan B'loshim Yochan. It does not say Vayachan B'loshim Rabin. To teach you what? Ki Ish Echod B'Lev Echod. As one people. The Choymos Yerushalayim, this is incredible insight. A lot of us should dwell upon this. The mile of the Choymos of Yerushalayim is creating Yerushalayim Har Sinai. It's bringing Har Sinai to Yerushalayim by Yichan Shom Yisrael Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Yerushalayim is Ir Shechubro Lo Yochad. Having a wall around Yerushalayim creates unity. Doesn't create security today, because today you have drones and planes and missiles. You can go over the wall. The purpose of a wall, of the Choyma, is an expression of Achdus. We're all in this Seviva together. Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. The Torah, everyone asked the question, why wasn't the Torah given in Yerushalayim? Ki mitzio in teitze soira, udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Why wasn't the question? It's a very good question. And don't let anyone tell you it's not a good question. That's, because it has to be in the midbar. The Gemara answers it. Hefker, Torah is free. No tuition. Torah is free. Can't charge for Torah. It was given in the midbar. The midbar is a place of Hefkeros. Everything is free in the midbar. Everything is free. The Torah was given in the midbar. No one can say, I'm a Yachson. Everyone has a Shaychus in Torah. That's a very nice answer, but it doesn't take away the question. The question is, the Torah should have been given in Yerushalayim. That is correct. It had to be given, it had to be given in the Midbar, but it has to now be brought to Yerushalayim. What do you bring to Yerushalayim? You don't just bring the Torah to Yerushalayim, you bring Har Sinai to Yerushalayim. The Choyma around Yerushalayim is a recreation of Har Sinai. It's Vayichad Shom Yisrael Neger Har Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. The Choyma creates the Achdus Ir Shechubro Lo Yochad. It is the bringing, the reenactment, the recreation, the bringing of Har Sinai to a Mokom Kodosh. It was given in the Midbar for many reasons, but it's, the reasons are only answers. We have to restore the Torah to its primary Mokom. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soiru Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. We bring Har Sinai to Yerushalayim. The way you demonstrate that Yerushalayim is Sinai is by building a wall. That's Hagbola, right? Hagbola Sohar V'Kidashtoi. Hagbola, make boundaries. The greatest boundary is the Chomos Yerushalayim. The breach of the walls of Yerushalayim is the Churban of Har Sinai. Just like we've, the Luchos that was given on Har Sinai was Nishvar. Just like when Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days to learn all the nuances of what was given on Har Sinai, was lost when the Torah was Nisraf. The Chamishe Chumshe Torah is an elaboration of what happened on Har Sinai. It's the record, it's the official document of what Hashem taught him on Har Sinai. The Luchos of the Rosh Prakim and the Sefer Torah is, some say that was Nisraf, was Moshe's Sefer Torah. Some say it was Ezra's Sefer Torah, Moshe's Sefer Torah, but it represents what Hashem taught him on Har Sinai. The Talmud is the breach in Zman. Oilas Talmud Hoasuya Bahar Sinai. No more. No more connection to the Har Sinai. The breach of the walls of Yerushalayim, no more Sinai. Because the walls, what is the Tselem? That's the hardest one. That is the hard, which really needs a little more hesder. What happened else? What was the fifth thing? Hemidu Tselem. They put an idol in the Hechel. I don't have clarity why, how that fits in, but I have no doubt if four of the five are clearly related to Har Sinai, the putting of the Tselem inside the Hechel, it's to anger Hashem. The Tselem, what?
The Hechel.
But how does that relate to Hayak? You have to find a link. What do you mean the eagle? The eagle, that's the Shura Saluchas. The Shura Saluchas, you want to say it's a reminder of the eagle, which is what caused the Luchas to be destroyed. Okay, there's something deeper. There's something that's more significant. The Hanidu Salem, the eagle. What does that mean exactly? What was the Chorban of putting the Salem there? We did a lot of Averis. We did terrible Averis. Putting the tzer in the Hechel was a way of angering Hashem. Hashem says to Kotzar, Hamatzea milehistorer. Something along those words. The couch is too narrow to lie down upon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there is not enough room in this space, HaMikdash, for me and for you, and therefore I'm leaving. I guess what it means is that Har Sinai, What was unique about Har Sinai? Let's clarify. What was unique about Har Sinai? Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem descended. That's what it says in the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kvoid Shechina, descended upon this earth. Hashem is here. Hashem is right here. He's here in the Beis HaMikdash. He's resting his presence. When they put a tzelem in the Hechel, so Chazal compared that to co-wives. Why is a co-wife, when a man is married to more than one wife, polygamy, each wife becomes a new shame, a tzara. When a man is married to one woman, she's called an isha. This is my isha. This is my isha. The other guy, I know someone who says that to me. He introduced me to his wife. This is my isha. He's a joker, this fellow. He always makes jokes. This is my Isha. His wife is a very dignified woman. It's very funny, the Shirach, because he's such a joker. Such a joker. And his wife is such a dignified person, and the two are married. This is my Isha. When a man takes a second wife, then the first wife is no longer called an Isha. She's called a Tzara. Why is she called a Tzara? Because each one is fighting for attention. Their attention. So each one hates the other. And that hatred overflows to everything and everyone. Each one becomes a problem. When Klal Yisrael brought in, this is what Chazal said, Kotzer Hamatzeh Milihistorer, that Hashem said that this is my house. I lie down on the mattress. The Gemara talks about, one of the Amoraim. He says that when I was married to my wife, when I first got married, the love between us was so great. Even if a chair or a bench was the size of a splinter, there was enough room for both of us. We can both fit. We can both fit. Because the love between us was so great, we can manage fit. We can sit down on a chair that's the size of a splinter together. But now that we hate each other, the whole world is not large enough to accommodate both of us. I once met a Balabas who says to me, I said, what about that shul, this particular shul? So he says to me, no way. The shul, it's a very big shul. It's a very big shul, but the ego of the rabbi and my ego, between our egos, my ego and his ego, there's not enough room in the shul for both of us to fit in at the same time. It may be a very big room, but we just can't get in the door together. It's just the shul is too small to contain my ego and his ego. So I can't daven in the shul. That's what he said to me. That's not what it says in the Gemara, what you just quoted, and that's exactly what Hashem said, is that the couch is too narrow to lie down upon. You know why? There's another person here. Here's my Beis HaMikdash, and in my Beis HaMikdash, there's an idol. And all these people are coming and bowing down and showing respect to the idol in my house, where I'm resting my... I'm out of here. There's not enough room in this Beis HaMikdash for me and for her. I'm out of here. That's exactly what they wanted to do. The clown show, so it says, they put the tzeirim in the heichal as a way of saying to Hashem, get out. They do this all the time in shuls. If Balabatim, who don't like their rabbi, nasty technique, it's done all the time, they want the rabbi to leave, so what do? They hire an intern. Rabbi, don't you think you need an intern? For what? The shul has only 5 members. Why? Why do you need an intern? Why do I need an assistant? There's only 3 people who, what services is the intern going to serve? No, we need an intern in the shul. And then they hire an intern. Everyone starts paying attention to the intern. And it's a technique. The rabbi should pack up and leave. People do that. They do this all the time. Even forget about it in the shul. You have it in the office place, in the workplace. You have a job. They want you out. And some reason, due to some technicalities, they can't push you out. So what do? They go. You hire another person who's half your age, half your salary. They give them all the work, and they insult you. They degrade you, and they try to force you out, and you should want to quit. That's exactly what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. They introduced a tzeilim into the heichal, and everyone comes to the Beis HaMikdash to bow down, to offer korbanos, in order to antagonize the Shekhinah, the Ribbono Nisham. Hashem, maybe you should leave. Go. Gei gezun to hate. Gei. What is that all about? This is the opposite of Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the moment Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. For the first time in the history of the world, the divine presence descended upon this world. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did they try to do by bringing Atzilim into the Hegel? They're trying to tell Hashem, it's time for you to go. And Hashem got the message. Hashem says, there's taka, not enough room. There's not enough space here in this space HaMikdash for me and her. So you know what? You can have it. I'm out of here. I'm going to go back to where I came from. This is the complete diametric opposite of what Har Sinai, Har Sinai. So Sach HaKol, Shavasa B'Tamuz, in essence, is a day where we mourn the loss of all the gains achieved in Matan Torah. Shavuos was not that long ago. Okay, everyone is still counting the Sefira. Anyone who didn't count last night, tonight, today is 132 days in the Omer.
Wow.
I just made that up. I'm just joking with you. Shavuos was not that long ago, right? It was not that long ago. Matan Torah and Shavuos B'Tamuz is a carryover for Matan Torah. It's a carryover of, we had Matan Torah not so long ago, and now, unfortunately, we were not able to sustain the gain of Matan Torah. The Luchos were shattered. What Moshe brought down, what Moshe learned in Shemayim at Matan Torah was burnt. Our connection in time, the Oilas Tamid Huasuya Bahar Sinai was severed. This that Hashem descended, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, we've pushed him away. We've told him, Gei Gesunte Heit, go back where you come from, by putting it Salem. Kotzar hamatza milistarea. Hashem says the bench, the couch is too narrow for me to lie down on. There's someone lying there. Can't put two people on this couch. I have to go somewhere else. And the breach of the chaimos of Yerushalayim is a chorban of ayichan sham Yisrael neged ha'har ki ish echad b'lei ve'achad. Is destruction. Everything about Shavuos B'Tamuz is an avelus over the churban of our connection to Har Sinai. Okay, now there is one other event that happened, which happened on Shavuos B'Tamuz, which is a good event. Actually, you know, one of the interesting things is when they went. Aaron said to Klal Yisrael, Chag LaHashem Mochar. Chag LaHashem Mochar. When they want to make the eagle, they came to him on the 16th day, and he said, calm down, guys. Chag LaHashem Mochar. Chazal Darshan, Yesh Mochar La'achar Zman. Wood Mochar doesn't only mean tomorrow. Sometimes Wood Mochar means in a long time from now. It means in many generations from now. It's going to be a holiday, a festival. So you answer, what's the festival? The festival is Tzoyim HaRevi, Tzoyim HaChamishi, Tzoyim HaTashi, Tzoyim HaAsiri. Will be for the Jewish people. Will be for them, says the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, will be for them in Zechariah, will be for them a Yom Tov. Chag LaHashem, ultimately Shavuos B'Tamuz will turn into a Yom Tov. That's a very popular pshat. Chag LaHashem Mocha. But there's another very significant thing that happened on Shavuos B'Tamuz, and there's a lot of unfortunate to talk about this, and the Chassam Sofer is the one who said this, and he made the calculation, and that is Boaz married Rus. He married Rus, in fact, on Erev, he married Rus the day before by day on the 16th day of Tammuz, and Rus conceived on the 16th day. He makes the calculation. The Chassam Sofer, right. Chassam Sofer makes a very elaborate calculation of the sequence of events of the story of Rus, Boaz and Boaz of Rus and Moldiah. and we know that Boaz died on his wedding on his wedding night.
Short-lived
marriage. He only lived one night. The night that they consummated the marriage was the night that he died. Boaz, that's what it says in Chazal. They got married on the 16th day of, according to the Chassam service calculations, they got married on the 16th day of Tammuz, and he lived with her on that night, which was the 17th day of Tammuz, and that night he died. Right after he lived with her, he died. And she conceived from that act, and that from that came Oved, and what's the whole Yichus? Oved, Yishai? Oved, Yishai, David. And from that came Melech HaMashiach. That came from that act. So, Chag LaHashem Mochor. Hashem is a very beautiful different Chassam Sofer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is buried the Refuah Koidim Lemakom. Even before there was a Beis HaMikdash, before there was anything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already prepared everything in advance. He was on Shivasar B'Tamos. Chag LaHashem Mochor. It is a festival for Hashem. It's a festival of Asalavoi. Shavasa B'Tamos will be transformed into days of, it's a Pasuk in Zechariah, Chag LaHashem Mochor. But it was already a festival before there was even a Beis HaMikdash, way before there was a Beis HaMikdash, in the time of the Shoftim. One thing was, there in Yimi Meish, Shoftim. We're talking way, way back. We're talking right when they came into Eretz Yisrael, during that Tkufa. Already was a Chag LaHashem, he was preparing the Refuah Koinim, the Makkah, the Melech HaMashiach was conceived on Shavasa B'Tamos. So though, and what is David? You have to appreciate, what is David? Lula Lule Toirascha Shashuay Avaditi. If not for the Torah, I would be nothing. David's whole essence was Mo Hafti Sarasecha Hashem Kol Hayom Hisichasi. The whole essence of David HaMelech is Acha Sha'alti Me'es Hashem Oisa Vakesh. The psukim will go on, all the psukim, one after another. David is all about Torah. There's nothing to talk about. Shavasa B'Tamos is the Churban that we were unable to sustain the momentum of Matan Torah. And we lost it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachamim, and he gave us, on this day it was already conceived, David HaMelech, the Malchus David, Melech HaMashiach, which will restore us back to where we come from, Matan Torah. Okay, everybody, so I thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
83rd Sphere.
83rd, day 83 days in the Sphere?
You're going to blow out the candle on your tongue?
Oh, no.
It's
50, 50,
and today is 49.
Okay, everyone, have a good day.